Welcome to the Devin Nunes Podcast. Breaking through the political noise, separating fact from fiction. From the San Joaquin Valley, the breadbasket of the solar system. Here is your host, Devin Nunes.
So we're honored to be joined by a warrior, a real warrior, named Devin Nunes. And Elizabeth, thank you, because you have to put up with it, Elizabeth, wherever you may be. But Mrs. Nunes is here, and she's a fantastic woman. But Devin has been from day one, from the day I met him. And, you know, this all started because I was driving up. What was the highway, Devin, that we were driving 99. By? 99. Does everyone know 99? And I kept saying, Devin, why are these fields all brown and they look like desert? They look like they were starved. It's too bad you have a drought. And then I'd see little patches of the most beautiful land I've ever seen. And then I'd go to the next and I'd see acres and acres of brown, really dry, horrible looking stuff. And then I'd see a patch of the most beautiful farmland I've ever seen. I said, what's going on? It's too bad you have a drought. He said, no, we don't have a drought. They won't allow us to have water in the state of California. That's how this all started. Believe it or not, that's how I really got to know Devin Nunes. Then he became a hero because he found out what was going on in government, and he found out about the hoax and the witch hunt and all of the horrible things that have gone on.
That was Donald Trump in Bakersfield, in the San Joaquin Valley, coming back since the 2016 election for the first time, following through on a promise that he made to the people of San Joaquin Valley. And we are very thankful for the president not only coming out and caring, but also following through on the long-term lack of common sense in this state. Finally brought some sanity back to the federal government. We had the Secretary of Interior out this week also. So I just want to thank the administration for being here. We have back on the show this week Johnny Amaral, who was my first chief of staff, who started working on water. Now he's with the Bryant Water Users Authority. He was actually there at the Trump rally yesterday. Johnny, welcome back on the show. It's good to see you. What did you think of Donald Trump's performance here in the Valley this week?
Good to be back. Thanks for having me back on the podcast. It was it's refreshing. And you were there from the very beginning back in, I believe it was May of 2016, when then-candidate Trump came out to Fresno and first started learning about these water issues. And he was able to deduce very quickly what was going on and why and the insanity of it. And when I say it's refreshing, it's because going back to May of 2016, what he said to the small group before the rally of 20,000 people, he was going to get elected and then come and work on the problem and fix the problem. Basically, what yesterday was tying a bow, in essence, the gift that he promised us all back in May of 2016 before he was even president. And so it's a very monumental day. But the fight's not over, and he said that, and he knows that.
Right. So, he said he's going to do more. He signed another memorandum, an executive action, laying out for the Secretary of Interior to do more. We're going to get into that. When he came out in May originally, then came back in August of 16, and he mentioned that in the opening of going down the 99 freeway. And I've heard him, you know, tell that story, repeat it back to me several times, but clearly it made an impression on him to see all the land that wasn't being farmed, even though, as you know, I kept telling him, hey, it's way worse than in other places in the valley than the 99. The 99 is actually one of the better locations, but there are areas that haven't been farmed, and it's going to continue to be a struggle. But clearly, had he went out to the west side of the valley, he would have saw hundreds and hundreds of thousands of acres that weren't farmed along the I-5 and all through the west side. And, you know, we face a long-term problem. We had the Secretary of Interior held a forum this week. Jason Phillips, the president of Bryant Water Users Authority, has laid out what is called the blueprint for the valley of the 3 million acres that's being farmed now. If something isn't done, we're likely going to have to idle a million acres. Now, what President Trump did, that's probably going to say we're looking at, I think Jason Phillips and a lot of the water experts say that's probably around a half a million acre feet on average that we'll get back to the valley. So, you know, essentially that's, we'll be able to farm another 150,000 acres. So maybe that drops that million acres that's going to have to be idled down to 850,000. But that's still 850,000 acres of the most fertile farm ground in the world. And so to get past that, we're going to have to build new storage projects. And we're going to have to update the infrastructure we have here, like the Bryant-Kern Canal, a lot of irrigation projects. But we're really going to have to increase storage and be able to pump more when there's lots of water, in these huge wet years.
Well, that's right. And that's really the main lever that the federal administration can control is surface water deliveries through the Delta. And that's what yesterday was intended to highlight, their plan to do a better job, have the federal government do a better job operating the big projects in the Delta.
And it's just so, because we have listeners from all over the United States and all over the planet, including Canada. I don't know why I have so many Canadian listeners, but I do. Thank you, Canada, for listening. And I don't think they believe this, that we have the Sierra Nevada mountain range that stretches the entire state, the San Joaquin Valley, the Sacramento Valley. It all converges in Sacramento. And then between Sacramento and San Francisco, if you're looking on a map, is the Delta. And there's two big pumping stations there that have worked with the big cement aqueducts and canals that was, at the time it was built, and probably still is today, the most sophisticated irrigation project ever built on the planet, except it's been idling. It's been running at snail's pace.
It's been hamstrung by law, years and years of laws and regulations and bureaucratic nonsense. And so so that's the point that you said, and what was said at the forum with Secretary Bernhardt just a few days ago. You know, 80% of the water in California falls north of the Delta, above the Delta, but 80% of the demand for that water is south of the Delta. So how the water moves through that Delta, through a series of pipes and canals that
and
you
talked
about.
And the big misnomer of all this is that people don't realize, yes, California is a desert, most notably kind of all over the state, especially the coastal areas. The San Francisco Peninsula doesn't have any water. It's a desert. They have a special deal where they actually dammed up Hetch Hetchy Valley in Yosemite National Park. The Congress has exempted San Francisco from all the laws. They get like the best fresh water every year. They never run out of water.
And you can't put a boat on it.
Yeah, you can't even use it for recreation because it's San Francisco's drinking water. But yet the rest of California operates under the Endangered Species Act and all the environmental laws, as we found the Department of Interior, Department of Commerce. And it just makes no sense. And that's why I think the president was really trying to bring common sense to this. One of the issues he talked about this week was water rationing. And what I want to do is I'm going to ask producer Steve to play clip one, and I want you to get your comments on it.
We are determined to finally get your problem solved. The state's not doing anything to help, but hopefully they will eventually come along. Now that they're rationing water for people, they're saying you're going to get very shortly. I heard the governor saying you get 50 gallons. 50 gallons sounds okay. People tell me it's like nothing. By the time you do with your showers and your hands and your dishes and everything, 50 gallons is very, very little. Can you imagine a state being rationed when you have millions and millions and millions of gallons being poured out into the Pacific Ocean that you could have, and you'd have more water than you knew what to do with? It's crazy.
So, Johnny, you just heard that. I mean, the president talks a lot about common sense. And you know, one of the concerns we have, he talks about 50 gallons, and I think the number is somewhere around 55. But what they're talking about doing is actually going in and knowing where everyone is at all times in every single household and allocating only so much water that would depend on how many people live in that house. I mean, it's really a nanny state issue. And I think what the president was talking about is just how crazy it is. And one of the things I've heard him say before, he's talked about, he has a lot of experience in building hotels and apartment complexes. And I think it drives him nuts because he knows, like all of us do, that especially if you have these low flow toilets or low flow sinks, you know, you have to sit under the shower for 45 minutes in order to get all the shampoo out of your hair, right? And I don't want to talk about what you have to do with the toilet. But the president's trying to talk about common sense things here. We have these wash machines, which is totally true. My wife was with the president the other day when he was here. And he was talking about washing machines, which, you know, a lot of people laugh at that. But my wife knows it very well because we bought one of these new fancy washing machines that's eco-friendly and all that. And of course, it didn't wash the clothes. And then it broke.
This is a ridiculous conversation that's even being had in California because there is generally such misinformation about our water supply in California that it causes people to think, well, maybe we should ration water. It's just a silly conversation because even in dry years, on average in California, there's tens of millions of acre feet of water, an acre foot of water. 1 acre foot of water is 326,000 gallons. There's tens of millions of acre feet of water every year that flow through the Delta.
It's a foot of water on an acre.
Under a football field.
So it's essentially kind of four houses and yards
Under a foot of water.
Under a foot of water. That's 1 acre foot.
And there's tens of millions every year that flow through the delta that we can't capture. We can't move it.
Well,
we
I would
get
say that we're up to essentially close to 80% of the water that's entering the delta is going out to the ocean, which is asinine. And if we just took that number back down to 76%, we could still send 76% of the water out to the delta, and we could farm every single acre here.
And not have to have rationing or even have a discussion about rationing.
Right.
It's just most people recognize that in California, you're right, it's a desert. We have dry years, we have wet years. That's been California's history. Wet years followed by dry years followed by wet. Sometimes you get consecutive wet years, sometimes you get consecutive dry years, but we have this elaborate system of dams and canals and pumps to move water and to, more importantly, store water in the wet years, because when we get wet years, it's historic. They're big, big years. Snowpack in the mountains and water in the rivers. And so it's
everybody
just,
talks about the Colorado Rockies. People don't realize the Sierra Nevada is the highest point here in the continental U.S., not Alaska. The continental U.S. is right here. We're sitting at Crawdaddy's in downtown Visalia. Thank you for them. There's no shortage of water here, or beer, or drinks, or music, live music every night. I want to thank them. But we're looking just right out the window here. You can see the Sierra Nevada is the tallest point in the United States. I mean, they fill up with snow. It's not just here in the southern central San Joaquin Valley and in the southern central Sierra Nevada mountain range. You go farther north to what you said earlier, you get foot after foot after foot of snowpack. It runs off all year, and that's the reason why we just caught it all. We wouldn't have to ration.
And you wouldn't have to catch it all.
Right.
I mean, that's the irony of that.
So I want to go, I want to play clip two.
On the basis of old science, obsolete studies and overbearing regulations that had not been updated in many, many years, and sometimes for decades. The resulting miscalculation and misallocation of water helped turn natural droughts into man-made catastrophes. I mean, it's really a catastrophe when you think you have farmers that own land, that are paying taxes on the land, that aren't allowed to farm your land. They're actually taking away your land. You think about it. And that's the state, because the federal government, we've done our part. That was supposed to be the hard part. We got it done fast. Commerce worked fantastically with you, David. I know that,
absolutely,
right? We got it done fast. To confront this problem, in 2018, I ordered the administration to update the outdated scientific research and biological opinions that helped to determine water allocation right here in the state of California. In other words, how much water is available for agricultural producers, communities, for all of the people that live in your great state? Although a lot of people speak badly of your state. I love your state. I understand your state. You have the potential like no place else, but you need the right government. You need the right governor. You need the right governor.
Thank you, Producer Steve, for playing that clip. So, Johnny, clearly, the president, once again, is talking about this man-made catastrophe that's developed, and he talks about the science. Essentially, it was science that was implemented by the Obama administration. The farmers challenged it over and over and over again. There is no science whatsoever. There's no data that shows that the flow of water out to the ocean impacts the salmon whatsoever, because you have wet years, lots of salmon, dry years, lots of salmon, wet years, no salmon, dry years, no salmon, and, you know, it's all over the map. The one thing that is completely clear is that the Delta smelt continues to decline every single year, which is a brackish water fish, and one would argue that I don't think you have to be a scientist. I think you can just be an average guy that knows, has any bit of common sense whatsoever, to say, well, we probably shouldn't be flushing fresh water all the way out, since the smelt tend to breed and multiply in brackish water, meaning where the fresh water mixes with the ocean water.
And we certainly shouldn't be doing what we've been doing the last 12 years, which is continue to flush water, flush water, flush water, and the fish populations continue to decline, and then somehow think that if we just keep doing that, that something's going to miraculously turn around, which is why what the president talked about yesterday, this new science and these new biological opinions, is critical. It's science. It's data. It's what we all should be striving for, to make sure that we can operate these systems in a way that makes sure that farmers and communities have water, and it's done in a smart way, to where if there's a need or a time where there's water needed for this or for that, it can be done, but not just based on some calendar that says, okay, on April 1st, all of a sudden, magically, you're going to stop running pumps to move water because we think on April 1st there's going to be some delta smelt around. As if
right, fish, that was the science.
Yeah, as if fish are running, swimming around thinking, hey, you know what? It's April 1st now. We can go closer to these pumps because they're going to shut them off. I mean, it's just that's what we've been living on for the last 12 years.
The fish don't know that they don't have a calendar?
I don't think so, Devin. Sorry, Congressman. I mean, that's just one of the many pieces of these new biological opinions that are going to just bring some sanity back to how these projects operate.
The other issue, they're going to do some fish hatcheries and experiment with putting, see if they can introduce the delta smelt back into the delta. And, you know, let's not forget that I think the craziest thing of all, and I don't want people to think I'm anti-fishing, I'm not, but the striped bass is a non-native fish to the delta. It was introduced there, planted there. Fishermen love to fish for striped bass. But look, the other challenge with them is that they eat small fish, including the salmon smelts and likely the delta smelt. So I'm really glad that the president's looking at new science, and I think this is a lesson for people all over the United States.
By the way,
crazy these environmental groups have become.
Yeah, I would just say, if you just objectively looking at the last 12 years of how these projects were operating, even if you're the most ardent environmentalist whose only concern is delta smelt, if that's who you are, you ought to be mad as hell too. Because the plan that you've been told that was going to work to bring back delta smelt has failed miserably for the last 12 years. Failed. Abject failure by every measurement. Yeah. So
well,
you
my
ought
guess
to be mad
is,
as hell
my
too.
My guess is there's not a damn person who cares about the delta smelt. I think you'd have to be a real extremist to care about the delta smelt, because the delta smelt, as you know, is no different than a smelt. I mean, it's all that the DNA is only slightly different. A smelt you would see all over the world.
I'm simply suggesting, if your only concern, if you don't care, give a rip about farmers, you don't give a rip about the Central Valley, don't give a rip about disadvantaged communities in this part of the state, all you care about is fish, you ought to be mad as hell, too.
Well, I want to find that person. Look, this is being broadcast. Thank you for the World Wide Web and the interwebs all over the planet. So if you care about the delta smelt that lives in the delta, please call me. Let me know. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. We'll play them on the podcast.
There you go.
So let me, we've got one final really important segment to go through here, and it's about water storage, because it's not just about the pumps. There's actually things we can do. We have water storage projects ready to go, and the president talks about them here. Producer Steve, play clip 3, please.
Since I took office, the Department of Agriculture committed investing over $6.1 billion to rebuild. Think of that, $6.1 billion to rebuild and improve the rural water infrastructure. And last month, I took decisive action to slash regulatory approval times for critical infrastructure, including water projects. We have many water projects going on right now that would have never happened under the previous administration, or if crooked Hillary won, which fortunately she didn't. Our proposal will limit the process to 2 years. Already, my administration is making every effort to finish the review process for the Fryant-Kern Canal in less than 1 year. Less than 1 year. We're going to have it done in less than a year.
So, Johnny, I know it was great to hear the president talk about the Fryant-Kern Canal, which is a canal that runs along the east side of the Sierra Nevada mountain range, one of those irrigation systems that's been developed many, many years ago and designed. He's talking about enlarging it, shoring, because it's had some capacity issues over the years. So I'm sure that was music to your ears to hear. But he also talked about water storage. And so the most important project, I think you would agree and everybody in California would agree, is Shasta Dam. And we have an ability. It's not even building a new dam, right? It's just taking a huge dam that we have now and raising it
18 and a half.
18 and a half feet. The property's bought. Nothing would have to be done. All you have to do is add on 18 and a half feet, and you would increase the water storage capacity. And like we've talked about, this is the location where all, you know, 80% of the water comes in the northern part of the northern Sierras. And so by increasing that capacity at Shasta Dam, it does another important thing, and that is it would have more cold water so that we can take and maybe use that water at the appropriate times.
Strategically
to help
use water to help spawning salmon and things like that. Yeah, that's one of the benefits of raising Shasta by 18 and a half feet. And what's most encouraging is if you go back and look at the president's entire speech yesterday, he talks about a number of things, which is very encouraging and enlightening. And that is, you got to fix the regulatory system that's been restricting the ability to move water in California. You got to build more storage like Shasta and others and expand other reservoirs south of the Delta, north of the Delta. And then you got to improve the ability to convey that water, because once you have it stored, you still have to be able to move it to where it needs to go. So, I mean, it really is a comprehensive approach that the president's administration is taking. And it's in this area in particular in California has been waiting for probably 30 years for this moment.
Yeah.
And probably many people thought it was never going
to
come.
It's the first water we got back. Now the state's threatening to sue. It's part of what we deal with here in California is the Socialist Party has infected, and the Radical Greens have infected Sacramento so much so that, you know, we're looking at nearly 1 million acres are going to be idled here over the next 10 years permanently.
I don't think they truly understand yet. I mean, I don't get too far in the weeds here, but the new law that's going to regulate groundwater that you mentioned earlier, that's a total life and game changer, because in years past, the federal government or the state government could restrict surface water flows. And what farmers would do, they'd say, well, if you're not going to give me my surface water, I guess I'm just going to pump groundwater. Well, that game is over. That's an important point.
And that's an important point to make, especially for our national audience, because this is not farmer Mike Bloomberg country where he just digs a hole and plants it and then it rains. This is it's a dry climate. It's a Mediterranean climate. And so you have to have irrigation water. With water comes life, and you have to put that water on at the precise time that the plant needs it. And I know that's what you guys do all the time at the Bryant Water Users, is try to figure out how to move this water around and how to best allocate it so that we can maximize production in what we call, the opening of my podcast, it's the San Joaquin Valley, the breadbasket of the solar system. There's a reason why we say it.
It's well said.
So, Johnny, thanks for everything you've done on the water issue over the years. I know you guys are going to continue to fight and try to bring some sanity to this state. But we are very thankful for the Secretary of Interior to come out to the San Joaquin Valley, look at all the water infrastructure. He didn't even go to Yosemite National Park or Sequoia Kings Canyon, which are right here. We're looking up at them. They're beautiful. Most of the Secretary of Interiors come in and they skip the San Joaquin Valley, where all the irrigation systems are, all the farming is, the largest agricultural area in the world, and they go take a photo op at Yosemite National Park. Secretary Bernhardt didn't do that. Stayed on the ground for 2 days. Met with the president. President came in, gave the great speech that he gave this week, and then told the Secretary of Interior there's more to do. And hopefully we get some cooperation out of our socialist politicians in Sacramento.
Well, there is indeed a lot more to do, but this was a good week. Good week for the Central Valley and for California.
Thanks again to Crawdaddies and Downtown Visalia. This is Devin Nunes. We'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Devin Nunes Podcast. We invite you to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And remember, you can download this podcast on iTunes or at devinnunes.com.
Storm clouds been gathering so long, I don't know.
The darkness around us leaves no easy road.
We started wondering if every road dead ends our dreams.
Wind whips the dust up and rain's pouring down.
Good people struggling in every hometown.
We started wondering if we even matter at all. We'll take that hard road to happier days. Cause we kept our American faith.
Now it's not our first trial by fire like this.
It's nothing hard work and family can't fix.
We've got the power to save it all here in our hands. We'll take that hard road to happier days. Cause we kept our American faith. Night toward the dawn, freedom. My
prayer and a purpose, we're already half the way there. We'll take that hard road to happier days, 'cause we kept our American faith.
Paid for by Devin Nunes Campaign Committee.